deliberate practice. Here's the whole presentation in 30 seconds or less. This is the law business circa 2019. Get stuff rapidly, put coins in, get products out. Sell as many units of widgets as you can in the time allotted, and our units of widgets are time by the hour. That's the law business. But this is all other excellent things. Handmade, handcrafted, slow, it takes time. What do I mean by that? The main idea is that excellence of any kind is never coin operated. Creating excellence requires a long-term investment. Fleshing it out a little bit, mastery in any field comes from deliberate practice. And here is a major point that will challenge probably what you think. It's not talent. Mastery is not a function of talent. Law is no different. It's the same in chess, in music, learning a jump shot, and in learning the skills to be a good lawyer. Law school involves deliberate practice, but then when we graduate from law school, we lose many of the qualities of deliberate practice, and the business of law actually crowds it out. So you have to resist or become mediocre. Actually, not become mediocre, the default is being mediocre. Unless you resist, you will be the middle of the bell curve, which by definition is mediocrity. So, why is this so? Because deliberate practice is long-term and intangible. It's hard to see the results as you're doing it, but the law business is short-term and very tangible. So we continually face this choice. Am I willing right now today to accept the cost, the short-term cost of a long-term investment in potential mastery? And it's a hard choice to make in the practice of law. But here, this is, again, sort of the difference between talent and work. We face this choice between the fixed mindset and the growth mindset. I suspect that a lot of us in this room had a similar experience in middle school or junior high or maybe even elementary school. Have you ever heard of things called a gifted program or a gifted and talented program? How many people were labeled in a gifted and talented program? Maybe they don't do that anymore. In my school, they certainly did. And that was sort of, that's a symptom of the fixed mindset that certain kids, you know, have been blessed with the certain something and we dare not bore those kids, so we're going to put them in the gifted program. I was blessed with having good parents who I had, first off, I had a healthy brain, as we all in this room do, but the blessing I had was not some sort of difference in my neurons so much it was just a difference in my parents and the way we did things at home. The difference between a fixed and a growth mindset will challenge your most basic assumptions about what makes you, you. Here's a question that I want you to remember, and I want to fill in the blank as if you were asked, if you were making this statement about yourself. I am not good at fill in the blank. So how did you fill in the blank, and why did you pick that thing that you're not good at? It's probably something that you think by some inherent endowment, I'm not good at this thing. Whether it's you're making small talk, networking, thinking on my feet, whatever it is. But this fixed mindset is also, whoops, I didn't mean to do that. There we go. Fixed mindset is the flat earth of law practice and legal education. It is unscientific, but it is the paradigm by which law firms and law schools choose who they want. An example would be back when writing programs were first mandated by the ABA. A lot of the elite law schools didn't want to have legal writing programs. Why was that? Well, because they're smart, they'll figure it out. They're talented. No, the paradigm of talent plus time equals mastery is unscientific. That's called naive practice, and it does not work. So here's the scientific approach. This is K. Anders Ericsson, who wrote his seminal paper in 1993, after I had already gone to law school, that elite performance is the product of a decade or more of maximal efforts to improve performance in a domain through an optimal distribution of deliberate practice, and is not due to innate talent. That's some old research, but we in the law have been slow to adopt it. So, deliberate practice. How masters are made. Here's some examples and some people you should know. First, I'm going to tell you the story of the three Toms. Does anybody know who Tom Martinez is? I didn't think so. What about Tom House? Anybody, you know who Tom House is? Okay, yeah, yeah, a few. I bet most of you know who the third Tom is if I were to put his picture up there, and the clue is in the shirt there behind Tom Martinez. The third Tom is Tom's sixth round draft pick, Brady, otherwise known as the GOAT or the greatest of all time. He was the 199th pick of the sixth round of the NFL draft. I might have been the 205th pick if they went that low. But what makes Tom Brady Tom Brady? Well, compare and contrast to Ryan Leaf, who is the second pick of the 1998 draft.